Hello, CJLO. My name's Cadence Weapon, and you're listening to 1690 AM Radio in Montreal.
I met her at an art show. She looked like Hallie. Walked to a loft show. I pissed in the alley, and she didn't seem to mind.
You're listening to CJLO News. A new proposed law in Quebec meant to address housing is facing blowback from co-op groups in Montreal and across Quebec. Bill 20 is a proposed law introduced by Quebec's housing minister, affecting access to affordable housing in the province, including housing co-ops. The bill would set an income threshold for renters in a co-op, essentially making co-op residents pay a penalty for earning above a certain income. The exact penalty has not yet been determined, with the government saying it would be determined later by regulators. This bill comes after a recent report from the Auditor General, which found that across Quebec, 10% of households in affordable housing make more than the financial eligibility criteria allows, which is just under $60,000 a year. The intended effect of the bill is more turnover in affordable housing and co-ops. But co-ops and housing advocates in Montreal and across Quebec are concerned that this bill would dramatically restrict people's access to affordable housing and make it difficult to establish new co-ops. Groups like the Quebec Confederation of Housing Co-ops condemn this bill, along with the Coalition of Housing Committees and Tenants Associations of Quebec, the RECLAC. The RECLAC believes this bill scapegoats people in co-ops who might earn slightly more than other members. Here is the coordinator of the RECLAC, Benoit Roulier.
What it does is it will make sure that the people who get slightly richer in co-ops will have to pay more for it, which sounds like very reasonable. But what it does, it will prevent them from putting this money where it should be, which is like, for example, on food, which is increasingly expensive, or just for their retirement, or for any sort of investment that could benefit the community.
Bill 20 is a proposed bill in Quebec's legislature, which is prorogued until May 5th. For CJLO News and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
Hush, not child, and don't cry. Your folks might understand you by and by. Just move on up toward your destination.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Death of the Mid-Range family. We are back on this beautiful Monday. It's 9 a.m. You are on CJLO 1690. I'm your host, Liba Sikoela Jello, joined by the one and only.
Yes, sir.
Hey,
the man.
You supposed to say your name.
Can I finish my intro?
My bad.
The myth, the legend, the man, Denzel, your favorite, yours truly.
Golly, that was long as hell.
We back, baby.
Death of Mid-Range family, we back on a rainy ass Monday.
Yep.
Rainy ass Monday. But you know why it's okay? Because our hearts are full of this playoffs first round.
Woo.
Good Lord, are we blessed?
Oh, my
man,
God.
How blessed are we, Des? How are you feeling after this first round? Good. I'm sweating. There was too many game sevens. I'm sweating.
Hey, man, like I said, this was one of the best first round I've seen in a long time. We've definitely been served. We, like you said, we had a lot of game sevens, a lot of intensity, a lot of clutch buckets, a lot of tough defense. We're going to talk about all that today, so I'm excited. So let's do it.
I mean, I even introduced what we're going to talk about today. Shocker. We're talking everything first round. We're going to recap everything, give our opinion on what happened, our MVPs, our unsung heroes, some of the disappointing players as well. We have to hold them accountable at times. And then if we have time on the back end of the show, we'll preview our – we first of all, we will review our first round predictions. And and then we will preview our second round predictions. But yeah, I mean, looking out east, we had three series go the distance until seven. What a weekend. Oh, right? Shout out to the Canadians for winning game seven.
Shout out to the Canadians.
It's another sport, but you know, we had two NBA game sevens on Sundays. We had game seven on Saturday. We had back-to-back days during the week when there was three game sixes.
Yeah.
I mean, bro, the Spurs and OKC are just chilling right now.
They chilling. I mean, like I told you yesterday when we were like in private, the big teams, the number one, two seeds, the dominant team, they're just chilling. They had an easy first round. That's what the regular season does. You know, when you're able to keep up the whole season, you get an easy matchup and you're able to, you know, have some days off.
And I totally agree. I like how you said in private, like it was, you know, a big thing. me and Denzel spent Sunday together watching the game sevens.
Right.
Freestyling a little bit also. We got to let the people know, you know. Maybe a project we're working on. But what you said about easier matchups is true. But even in, I feel like in any other year, having the 8th seed be the Suns or the 7th seed be the Blazers isn't even an easy matchup, right? And I think it shows how, like, the gap between OKC and the Thunder, well, no, between the OKC Thunder and the Spurs from the rest of the team. Because, like, bro, the Blazers and the Suns aren't just
rollovers. They were hooping. No, they were hooping.
Like, for real.
They were hooping. No, they were hooping for sure. But like you just said, like the Spurs and OKC, they're ready. You know, they have a squad. Okay. They're ready to hoop and, you know, sweep.
Yeah.
You seen it.
Well, let's get into it. We want to give out some praise. Want to recap everything. Where should we go? I feel like we should start maybe out east with the freshest game of our mind.
Let's be recency.
Let's go Pistons Magic.
Ooh,
which I've told you and I've texted you about it.
Yeah.
It's been my favorite series by far. I haven't missed a game. I've even rewatched certain games because I don't know. There's something about this disgusting offense that was proposed to us. And this might sound sarcastic, but it's not. The Orlando Magic and the Detroit Pistons were the two worst offenses in the playoffs.
Yes.
But for me, it was very enjoyable. For the people that don't know, the Pistons came back down 3-1 and won Game 7 yesterday at home. And for me, watchability was a 1 out of 10 because it was not, you know, very, like, enjoyable for the average fan to watch.
Right.
But for my own enjoyment, I loved it.
Right. Now, like you said, Pistons, Magic, that was a definitely, like, robust and compact game. Two teams who play stick defense the hardest. So even if offensively it wasn't the best watch, the intensity made up for it a lot, you know. So it was a tough series. I had the Magic coming out, but hey.
We remember.
We almost did it, though.
3-1-3, Detroit, baby.
Hey,
let's go.
Can we get it? Hey, can we just give some props to my boy Paolo, though, because
Shout out, Paolo.
He really did it all yesterday, man.
Yeah.
Like, I think he had pretty much 90%, like 80 to 90% of his team field goal and points. He was aggressive yesterday, but you know, he just played against a better team who was more disciplined defensively, a team who was able to have multiple sources of offensive power and willpower. So it gets tricky sometimes, but hey,
it's funny that you say that now, because I feel like especially yesterday, the Orlando Magic made the Detroit Pistons look like a potent offense, right?
Okay.
Because I feel like yesterday, the Magic not showing up and only having Paolo
kind
of flipped the script. Because I feel like 2 weeks ago when you and I were in this same studio, we were talking about how the Magic have a big three offensively, which they can rely on.
And I was talking about how I was doubting Detroit's offensive power.
Yep. And I think Detroit's offensive disparity never came around, right? Because Tobias Harris showed up every day.
Oh, yeah.
But then Dennis Jenkins only showed up in Game 7.
Yeah.
But then in Game 7, it was the other way around, right? Dennis Jenkins, other dudes on the Pistons stepping up. And for Orlando, literally nobody stepped up.
Nobody.
And we had the stat. Unfortunately, we can't show you the picture. But at some point, right, I think the Magic had 60 points. And Paolo had 30.
30.
And he had 12 field goals.
Yeah.
While the Magic as a team only had 10 field goals and also had 30. How insane is that? This series has broken records of like what the freak, bro.
I know.
Like game six when they have 21 straight misses. And, like I can't.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I know. I mean, like you said it. Like Paolo was the only offensive power of the team. Like he scored the first 10.
11.
The first 11 points, yeah. You know, so from the gate, it was going to be a tough matchup. You can tell that he was the scouting report because nobody else was able to step up. I'm going to commend the Pistons because that's what great teams do. Adjusting, not being tricked out of your position.
For sure.
I was really harsh on the Pistons for the longest because I didn't really believe. But
we remember.
But after seeing how they turn things around and being able to adjust, being able to stick, be able to make shots, be able to keep confidence, Tobias Harris, what a game, man.
What a game. What a game by Tobias Harris.
What a
Harris.
Game, man.
What a series.
What a series.
I saw a stat that said that Tobias Harris, believe it or not, did not have back-to-back 20-point games in the regular season.
Look at this.
He just rattled off 3 back-to-back 20-point games while also averaging 20 in the series and having his first 30-point games of the season.
Wow.
If that's not a playoff riser, and I'm going to be the first one. Tobias Harris over me? Yeah. Yeah,
Tobias
Jimmy.
Tobias Harris over me?
Yeah, Jimmy.
Yes.
You better stay. He the truth.
Chill out, bro. Chill out.
So are we going to disagree on who the MVP of this series is?
No, we're not.
Has to be Cade Cunningham.
For sure.
Cade Cunningham.
For sure. Consistent, you know. Like, he's the engine of that offense. He's the engine, low-key the engine of, I'm not going to say the defense, but he leads by example.
He is the offense.
He is the offense. Truthfully. You know, and when you have your best player, your best offensive player showing effort on defense, everybody is going to follow up. And we're talking about the bad boys. You know, we're talking about a grit. We're talking about a culture.
No, for sure.
Who prides itself on defense, on grit, on, you know, toughness. So he definitely displayed that throughout the whole series, and he was efficient last game. He wasn't losing his confidence. He was making threes. He was scoring all three levels.
Silver lining that I will add for all the Magic fans listening, Franz Wagner changed the series by being out. Because let's remember, when Franz Wagner went out, they were up 3-1.
Yeah.
And he was playing admirable defense on Cade Cunningham. I'm not saying that the Pistons couldn't have come back, but his size and mobility on Cade Cunningham was actually disallowing him to bully inside. And when he went out, you could see the uptick in Cade Cunningham. Like, he was attacking Jamal Cain, who unfortunately could not, you know, defend like Franz Wagner was doing.
Nah,
but still, shout out. You gotta roll with the punches. You know what I'm saying? You gotta roll with the punches.
Pressure, man.
Who would be your unsung hero for this series?
Come on, man. This is... Okay, I have two.
Yeah.
Obviously, Tobias Harris.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to give credit to the underdog. Shout out my boy, Dennis Jenkins, man.
Dennis Jenkins?
Yesterday,
for stepping up in game 7?
Oh, yeah. Okay. He put on a show. I know you talk about the whole series.
Yeah.
But I just want to commend, you know, I think this year, this playoff showed me that, you know, if you don't have a deep team in 2026, if you don't have role players who are willing to keep shooting the ball, who are willing to sometimes not having a lot of minutes but still coming in and giving, you know, a hot streak. Dennis Jenkins yesterday was incredible, man. He was hitting all the open shots. He was doing what he was supposed to do. He was sticking defense 94 feet.
No, for sure.
He wasn't losing it, man. And he didn't have the greatest series, but to me, I want to give him the MVP because being able to not be the best player or not even the top five of the team. I don't know. Can we agree that he's a?
I think throughout the season he might have been the fifth most. Like, he could be in there. But
let's say 5 to 6, five to seven.
I agree.
5 to 7, and he's on a minimum, so he's definitely like he has a chip on his shoulder, and I want to commend that. So I would give him the MVP because he closed it out yesterday.
I agree because honestly, it doesn't matter what he did for the past 6 games if he can show up in game 7.
Yeah,
he had only made 3 threes for the past 6 games.
Yeah.
He made 3 threes in the first half last night. So, shout out Dennis.
Shout out Dennis.
And my unsung hero has to go to Asar Thompson. And he's not so unsung because I feel like a lot of people have sung his praise.
I like that one.
But 16 blocks, 16 steals in a 7-game series is absolutely insane for somebody who's listed as a guard but kind of plays like a forward. He's second leading in blocks in the playoffs behind Wembanyama, which is basically means you're first. Because,
he's like a big.
Wembanyama is. But just his defense last night, again, as a help defender on Suggs, who had a horrible series, on Bane, whoever he was matched up with, shout out to him. And right before the break, we got 50 seconds. We both agree, disappointment, Jalen Duren.
Jalen Duren, man. Yeah.
Your bag got saved, bro. Your bag got saved. If they got knocked out, you were not getting it back.
Yeah.
Now you got a second chance against the Cavs, boy. Come on, show up.
You better show up. You better show up.
But this will take us to our first little ad break, Death of the Mid-Range Family. Stay with us. We got a lot more on the way, and we'll be right back. See ya.
Want to know the easiest way to help out your favorite community radio station? Well, there's this thing called the Community Radio Initiative. The National Campus and Community Radio Association and stations from across the country, like ours, are asking the federal government for direct funding for our sector. For CJLO's part, there are so many people at our station that are truly passionate about radio, and getting that funding would allow us to do so much more on and off the air. So if you want to help us out, head on over to mycri.ca. There's a letter writing campaign going on right now, and on that site, you'll find a tool that will generate an email for your MP and a bunch of other ministers in about 30 seconds. Again, that site is mycri.ca. Thanks for your support.
I once had a dream that I was eating a peanut butter and tuna fish sandwich, and let me tell you something, it was delicious. So the next day, I decided to make that sandwich. And in real life, it is disgusting. It is a disgusting sandwich. And the reason I tell you this story, pick up the phone, just...
Hi, this is Dreamscapes, and we want to eat that disgusting sandwich because we're a show about dreams, and we don't think that dream sandwich is disgusting at all. So, you should be calling us to tell us about your dreams and your dream sandwiches. And if you do want to call in, the number is 514-848-7471. And we're on CJLO Mondays at 4 p.m. And we don't think your dream is weird at all. It sounds really good, actually.
No, we don't think your dream is weird at all. you are still on CJLO 1690. This is still Death of the Mid-Range. And I'm still your host, Libasico Lajalo, still joined by the amazing and warm...
Yours truly, Denzel.
Yeah. I didn't know where I was going with that, Denzel. Thank God you stepped in, because I did not know where I was going with that.
I got you.
Before break, we were, you know, wrapping up on the Pistons and Magic. Last message that I will say is just thank you. Thank you so much, legitimately, for such a great series. Just thank you, because I enjoyed all seven games of this series. And yeah, but I'm ready to move on though and talk about another matchup that I quite enjoyed. The Philadelphia 76ers.
Ooh.
Coming back 3-1, also coming back down 3-1 against the Boston Celtics and snatching their chain in Boston.
Game 7. That sounded personal. What's going on, man?
I hate the Boston Celtics. Talking about game seven.
About it.
10 years ago or 9 years ago,
yeah.
when my sweet Washington Wizards made the playoffs. In the 2017 playoffs, John Wall was having an MVP year, right? We beat the Atlanta Hawks in 6. Then we roll into a great matchup against the Boston Celtics of Isaiah Thomas back in the day.
Yeah, IT.
When he was averaging 29.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we protect home court, right? Game 5, we lose. We're down 3-2 going back home. John Wall hits the infamous shot.
Yes.
Jumps on the stanchion. And then we go to Boston in Game 7. And freaking Kelly Olynyk scores 27 points to send the Wizards home. And I've never been the same since. My Wizards have never been the same since. Regardless, we're here to talk about actual basketball.
Do you guys just see how you just flip it on us like that?
So
I'm just saying, let's keep back on track. But.
So the Celtics are going home, unfortunately. How did you feel about this series?
Oh, I love that series. First of all, I want to congratulate the 76ers, all my people from Philly. I have a lot of love for Philly, and I think this series showed me that this is the best team that I've seen the 76ers having in a long time. The chemistry,
yeah.
I love the backcourt of VJ and Maxey.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is complementary to Joel perfectly. They have Paul George who can bring them something. Overall, it was a good, it was a great series, man. Another upset, yeah. Another 3-1 comeback. Joel Embiid, man. Joel Embiid, to me...
Changed the series.
To me, he showed me that... He showed me why we put him in certain conversations.
Yeah, he cared.
You know what I'm saying? Despite the injuries, he was aggressive, man. You can tell he had a chip on his shoulder. He was aggressive. He was applying pressure on the rim. He was getting to the free throw line. He was bully ball. And that's what I want Jordan Beal to do. That's how you win. You know, that's how you lower the injury risk when you're not moving too much, when you're out here using your advantage, you know?
And unfortunately, I think, exactly as you said, every time we get to see a healthy Embiid or a semi-healthy Embiid, one, it's really enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
But two, it also fills me with sadness because I'm like, damn, bro. Like, I feel like I wish we could get more of this. And as he gets older, we're probably getting less and less of that product.
And he got hurt.
And and honestly, down in the fourth quarter of Game 7, he was not moving anymore.
And he was giving he gave his all, man.
He gave his all, but like down in that fourth quarter, he was standing in the corner, not doing anything.
Yeah.
And thank God Tyrese Maxey put his big boy pants on.
Big boy
I'm good there.
On.
And just, you know, closed it out for the Sixers.
Yeah.
Weird kind of season for the Celtics, who overachieved in the regular season, and then come playoff time, I saw a lot of Celtics fans saying that they went away from what their success was, which was like their depth and playing a lot of players, right? Because they, you know, they shortened the rotation. But, you know, at the end of the day, they kind of died by the three. And they couldn't defend Embiid.
Yep.
He got all of their big men. Luka Garza, barbecue chicken.
Barbecue.
Nemias Keita, Portuguese chicken.
Vucevic.
Don't even suit up, my brother. You know what? Stay on the bench. He was crazy. Jalen Brown had to guard him. So shout out Embiid.
Now Mazzulla said it best. They asked him during the press conference, man, what happened? What changed? Joel Embiid happened.
Yeah,
he came back. He came back in the game, and like you mentioned with the Celtics, I think this is a overachieving season, man. You guys like had a transition period of your roster. You guys traded a lot of people. When I was looking at the game, it looked like a 2v5. It was Derek White and Jalen Brown against the whole 76ers, because nobody else was making a shot. They were like dying by the three. And it took Jalen Brown's aggressivity, like, you know what I'm saying, being aggressive and driving to the rim, trying to, you know, move the ball a little bit more for the Boston Celtics to try to make a little comeback towards the end.
Yeah.
But you said it best, man. Once Embiid came back into the game, it was GG's. But I want to also commend VJ Eshkom for having such a great game, but not only that, such a great series. I think he's such an advanced rookie. I always use the term advanced because to me there's a difference between being talented and advanced. You can tell that kid is, of course he has some talent, but he does the dirty work. He doesn't lose confidence. He does all the intangibles that you want somebody to do. He's fearless, you know. He will shoot that ball. He would drive that lane. So I think everybody on the 76ers just did their job. As how can I say this? They were able to not fold under pressure, and this is really rare when you think about the 76ers.
For sure.
They have a history of falling under pressure.
No, and I think I love you bringing up VJ because we talked about it yesterday. You know, at my crib, just how intentful he is.
Yes.
What I love about VJ Eshkom is that he will live and die by his game.
Yes.
When he attacks the rim, it's because he wants to attack the rim. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing with his jump shot, he came in the league not known as a jump shooter, and now, if he pulls up, it's because he wants to pull up.
Yeah.
It's because that's what he decided. It's not because you're leaving me open, or it's not because you're just semi contesting me.
Yeah.
And I think that's shown. His confidence is never wavering.
Yeah.
And my MVP of this series, because I wanted to bring to that conversation, is Tyrese Maxey.
Of course.
Right?
I agree.
I want to commend him for being that first option, right? Leading this team and stealing game two, which is super important, by the way.
Super.
They stole game two without Embiid. And that ultimately led them to win this series. And then when Embiid came back, to be willing and to not have the ego to go two games with less shot attempts than him. Because Embiid came back firing.
Yes.
Yeah, like 26 and 27 shot attempts.
Yes.
And to be able to adapt. And then when Embiid's not feeling well, okay, now I know that.
That chemistry was perfect.
One, chemistry. Two, maturity.
Yes.
Right? That's your leader right there. That's your number one player. And just shout out to Maxey for being MVP. I don't know if you had a different MVP.
Ooh. You say Maxey? You know what? I wanted to say Maxey, but I'm going to go a little different. You know, I think this was a breakout game from Embiid, low key.
Yeah,
I want to say Embiid. I think now it is the chance. Like, he has a chance to prove a lot of people wrong this year. You know, so I want to give him that confidence. And we're also from the same country. Shout out to Cameroon. You already know.
Shout out.
So I'm gonna put Embiid as my MVP. But Tyrese is like 1B for sure.
Then I wanted to go unsung hero.
Yes.
I decided to go Paul George. Because the one thing that cannot be overstated was Paul George's constant shot making in this series. He turned back the clock on more than one occasion. when it was really needed, and also his defense.
Yeah,
right. He was, his main assignment was Jaylen Brown, and yes, he did an amazing job. And it just speaks to, I know a lot of people have been talking about Paul George, his contract, the fact that he hasn't been playing so many games, the suspension and everything. But since coming back, the mentality has been right. Like, yep, he's just been picking up 94 feet, yep, making it personal with Jaylen Brown, and holding him the best you can, the best you can do with an MVP type of caliber player.
Right. So, now, I think you're on point. You mentioned something. You say maturity. And when I'm looking at the 76ers roster and I'm looking at Paul George, we're talking about Paul George.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about one guy who was, like, once a first option.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a Clippers fan, so I know what I'm talking about.
I know you do. Playoff P.
So being able to take a seat back but still being, you know, serving of your team and, mm-hmm, you know, playing defense, and, you know, sometimes they would let him having his ISO ball as well. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I would definitely go Paul George. I'm not going to say VJ because to me he was a parent. That's not an unsung hero. He was, showing out.
I like that take.
You know what I mean?
And then just for my personal disappointment, I thought Derek White was very disappointing in this series. He's known as one of the best perimeter defenders in the league, but Tyrese Maxey kind of had his way with him on multiple ball screens, and even off the dribble was kind of getting to any point that he wanted to get to. And even offensively, his offense never picked up until game seven, and then even at that he was inefficient. I expect a lot better from Derek White, and they needed more, right, from Derek White.
I have Vucevic.
Yeah.
I have Vucevic.
I mean, they traded for him.
You guys traded for him, and he's still on a pretty, you know, decent contract. Vucevic didn't bring anything offensively. Obviously, we know he's not the greatest defender, but you didn't do nothing, bro. And you're supposedly the third best player on the team, yeah, when Tatum is not here. What are we talking about? So, yeah, now Vucevic
is not even getting minutes.
Not even getting minutes. So, to
and
me,
the stats when he guarded Embiid,
yeah,
were god awful.
I think it's dog, call it quits, man.
I could have done a better job. And that's the last thing I will, yeah, say.
I like Vuce though, but yeah.
No, I'm a sweet dude. Sure. Listen, we in Canada, baby. Of course, we got to spend some time talking about the Raptors, who unfortunately could not pull off. I would call it an upset because I feel like people had the Cavs moving on in this series. But they could not pull up. They were not able to pull, yes, off the upset in Game 7 after a good fight in the first half, but unacceptable defense in the second half. And then they just kind of let go of the rope and were unable to come back. What were your thoughts?
I want to congratulate the Cavaliers, man.
For sure, sticking it out.
This year was definitely, like I said, overachieving. I want to congratulate specifically Scottie Barnes.
Shout out.
He showed me that he was able to lead a group of young guys. I think the Raptors had the third youngest team in the playoffs this year, if I'm not tripping.
I think third because I think OKC's younger and the Trailblazers. Younger.
Okay, there we go. So to me, it just showcased how much of a leader he can be and a playoff riser. You mentioned that yesterday, the, yeah, term playoff riser. It stuck with me because we know Scottie is good. We know he's a, yeah, freak. We know he plays defense. We know he has the grit. We know it. Yeah. But performance-wise, he never really proved that he was a winning player in, yeah, the playoffs. And, yeah, this year, to me, was he did just that. They had no business going to Game 7 against the Cavs.
Oh, 100%. No business.
I'm actually really upset at the Cavs for taking so long.
No,
but
for sure.
I want to give credit to the Raptors first.
And also shout out to Toronto, the city. Like, yes, the fans definitely showed up,
yes,
in the three games. I mean, if you look at it, they defended home court. Yeah. And this was a 4-5 matchup.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the Raptors were maybe the fourth seed, you know, get home court advantage in game seven, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to commend especially Toronto's defense
because,
mm-hmm, yep, Donovan Mitchell has had a reputation of walking over every series offensively.
Facts.
Right? And I feel like in all of his series in his life, it was never his fault. Or never, like, he never, his play never wavered. And I've seen Donovan Mitchell struggling,
mm-hmm,
especially away from home.
Right.
The defense played by Scottie Barnes, Colin Murray-Boas, I cannot say enough good things about it. And the depth of the Toronto Raptors weirdly showed up. I remember we were sitting in the studio with Max at the beginning of the season talking about the Raptors and their depth. And using the same names that suited up yesterday.
Yeah.
Jameson Battle.
Yep.
Right? Jamal Shedd. Jacoby Walter. Mamu. Mm. And I know Mamu didn't have the greatest series, but Jamal Shedd had an amazing series. Jacoby Walter showed up even in Game 7. And Jameson Battle, who was not even playing minutes, got fourth quarter Game 7 minutes. So I think as a whole, this is a good series for the Raptors.
This is a great series for the Raptors. I think they hustled hard. I think they played great, like you said, great defense, and it actually worked.
Yeah.
It worked. Mm-hmm. It worked. Some players were able to even shine through that. Like you said, Jamal Shedd.
Yeah.
I didn't know Jamal Shedd before the series like that. I know about him for sure, but I didn't know he was actually this good. So now the Toronto Raptors, still a young squad, but definitely promising. And RJ Barrett,
we even mentioned him.
Toronto native, RJ Barrett. Ooh. He definitely showed out for his city. He was aggressive as well. I actually really like the fact that when BI went down, he stepped up.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't afraid to take on that role. He was applying, you know, them lefty layups he loves to do. He was actually making them a lot. So shout out RJ Barrett and shout out Scottie Barnes and the whole Toronto Raptors for an amazing first round. Thank you.
As you guys know, my co-host, or one of my co-hosts now, Max, is in Ireland and is a diehard Raptors fan. He was texting me last night and he wanted me to read a statement for you guys.
Oh.
My thoughts on the Raptors, dot. Overall, I am happy, dot. We didn't lose like the Hawks, and it was such a nail-biter that I cried myself to sleep. We didn't have a full team. We barely had a big, and we still punked the Cavs, dot.
You said punk. Oh.
That first half as a Raptors fan was some of the most joy I've had watching a playoff game in a long time.
Mm.
Then he goes on and say that RJ Barrett, you know, that he's harsh on him and that, you know, sometimes he plays bad.
Mm.
But he just said that he was happy and that overall this team is going to be very fun next year. And he loves his frustrating Raptors. He wants us to trade quickly. Jamal Shedd is the best point guard in the league.
Okay, now we're getting out of hand, guys.
Let's get some spacing and playmaking, please.
Shout out Max, man.
Max, we miss and love you.
That's some bye sticks.
And he was sad last night. I know.
Of course. You should be prior, though. That's a good series.
Who's your MVP of this series?
Scotty, even though he lost, yeah. I got Scotty.
Me too. I agree.
I think this is one of them instances where the MVP is in the losing team.
Oh, for sure.
Because I was really, really disappointed in the Cavs. I don't think nobody stood out consistently.
And that's, I think, the best. That's a great thing because it wasn't consistent, right? I think Spida had the first two games, right? James Harden was like there and there. Didn't have an outstanding game, but was there and there. Mobley had games five. Game five and six.
And
Jared Allen got game seven.
Yeah, I was going to mention Allen. Shout out Jared Allen for that game seven. You were the best player of on the floor.
Game seven, for sure. Yes. For sure. Who's your unsung hero?
Ooh. I feel like there's so much. Yeah. Like in this series, there's so much unsung hero. But I'm going to go with my boy Merrill.
Sam Merrill?
I'm going to go with Sam Merrill, man. I really appreciate the efficiency.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I'm going to say. I don't think he was necessarily, like, taking a lot of shots, but he was making them.
Oh, for sure.
He was making them at a consistent rate. And I think in the playoffs, you need somebody who's going to be consistent from the three-point line. So I'm going to go with Merrill because I was actually appreciative of his shot-making ability.
Yeah.
For the Cavs,
no,
of course.
Yeah, for the Cavs. But I feel like every time, and this is just the eye test kind of thing, when you see a dude that looks like Merrill, right? I swear to God, this is not a joke.
Go ahead.
And it's not discrimination either.
But when you see
a dude that's built like Merrill,
right?
Merrill could show up to my YMCA and I wouldn't think he was tough.
Yeah.
So that's when you know that boy is 1,000 times tougher than you think.
Yes.
Because to be playing in a playoff game when it looks like you my size and probably my weight,
right?
Then boy, you tough.
And
you
he wasn't lacking on defense either. Nah. I mean, he wasn't the best, but he was sticking. He was holding his own. He was holding his own.
My unsung hero. I went Raptors heavy.
Of course.
I think Colin Murray-Boyles deserves my unsung hero.
Yeah.
At times, he was probably the Raptors' best player.
Yes.
Like Darko Rajakovic said, he plays basketball like his life depends on it.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of Colin Murray-Boyles. A lot of people did not like the choice by the Raptors to draft him last year. Yes, reminder, Colin Murray-Boyles is a gosh darn rookie who averaged a double-double in a playoff series. Shout out to him, right? He helped the Jakob Poeltl problems.
Yes, great.
Should we go to disappointment?
Disappointments.
A lot to choose from.
A lot, a whole lot. I'm going to go even Evan Mobley. I know you said he, I know you're going to tell me, oh, game five, six, but when you average 30% from the field for three straight games and you supposedly a defensive player of the year, you supposedly the third, not even the second, if we keep it real, because is he like over Harden in terms of the team hierarchy?
I think they probably want him to be.
They want him to be.
I think at times he deviates from that.
Exactly. So I'm gonna go Evan Mobley. I'm a big fan of Evan Mobley. That's why every time I kind of go at someone is because I like him, you know, and I feel like you guys can do better.
It's love.
Evan Mobley, man, you gotta stick better strength. You gotta post up more. You gotta be more aggressive. I know he's sort of like not a pick and pop, but he's sort of like a big that plays on the perimeter and sort of like, you know, do dribble handoffs and screens. But man, when you gotta take advantage of your size, you gotta use your advantages. He doesn't do that.
And we talked about it, Denzel, yesterday. It's funny when you watch Evan Mobley. He doesn't create advantages because of his size.
Yes.
Like, if he gets bumped by a shorter player, by a leaner player, he will let it deviate, like, his course to the rim. And the one thing that can change that for his career is his three-pointer. And I feel like his three-point shot came around at the right times. It saved them in Game 5. It was going down in Game 7. So I definitely agree that Evan Mobley was very disappointing, especially away from home. My disappointing player.
Who you got?
Brandon Ingram. I know he was dealing with an injury.
Missed, I didn't want to put him in there.
He missed game 6 and 7. I know. But for me to be averaging 12 points while you came in, probably as what the casual fan thought was the Raptors' best player.
Yep, first option.
And he was also one of the most, experienced guys on this roster.
Yep.
So I expect a lot more from him.
But Brandon Ingram doesn't have winning basketball, though.
Yeah, but he's been, like, a number one option or a 1B option on a playoff team that were the Pelicans, right? That won play-in games and that was really competitive.
True.
You're right. Should I take it out west?
Let's go out west, baby. Let's get it.
The Minnesota Timberwolves beat the Denver Nuggets in 6 games.
Yes.
Back home.
Yes.
No Ant. No Dante DiVincenzo. Ayo Dosunmu was a late scratch. Kyle Anderson was also out. Let's not forget. And Terrence Shannon Jr. said bet. Jaden McDaniels said, wait, hold up. You're a bad defender. You're a bad defender. You're a bad defender. Grits, ham, barbecue chicken. I got you. 32 points, 10 rebounds, 4 steals, 1 block. What else is there to say?
They got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels.
Tell him, boy.
Nah, like, Minnesota against Denver, man. Like, what a game 6. I'm going to start with game 6. Jaden McDaniels and Shannon Jr. What a game. I want to commend the Minnesota Timberwolves once again. I think they showed throughout the years that we are contenders. We're getting better every year, each and every year. They actually did a really, 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 really good trade deadline. I really like their bench players. We mentioned Shannon. They also have Ayo, who wasn't necessarily the best every game, but
43 points,
you know,
in game 5.
He had 43 points in game 5, you know, but he's someone that will bring energy and stick defense the whole time. So when I'm looking at the Minnesota Timberwolves, I just think they're ready and they just showed it, you know. Shout out to Jaden McDaniels for suiting up and being that first option with Shannon Jr. when Ant was hurt. You know, this is commendable for sure.
And a lot of people laughed at Anthony Edwards, who not only said, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels. But further said during that season, I think it was even this season, where he said, Jaden McDaniels can do everything that I can.
Everything.
I just got to let him cook more.
Yes.
And one, I don't think we talk about Ant as a leader enough. Because if my star player tells me that I got the same ability as him or similar ability, I would have wings flying.
And you can tell Anthony Edwards brings that confidence into his teammates, because even Gobert, look at Rudy Gobert.
Shout out.
When everybody was slandering him, he was like, "Nah, we got the best defense in the world.
Rudy, bro.
We got Rudy."
And for the Denver Nuggets, all of their biggest flaws, I feel like, got exposed. Anybody that was coming in, if you were a guard and could dribble on the Minnesota Timberwolves, you were straight, like, beelining to the rim.
Yeah.
Terrence Shannon Jr., all he was doing, I swear, it was like out of like a playground, bro.
Pressure.
Just putting it on the floor and just running to the rim.
Pressure.
And he was getting there every time.
Every time. Left hand, right hand, what you want?
It's like, he hadn't started a playoff game in his career. He barely played in the series.
Yeah.
And then walked him down in game 6. This takes me to the MVP talks. Who was your MVP of this series?
Rudy Gobert.
Oh, you might. Me too.
Rudy.
I'm going to dap you up.
Rudy Gobert. Shout out to my French boy. I'm French too, so hey. I'm Cameroon. I'm French also.
He's everything.
I'm everything, guys. But yeah, no, I got Rudy Gobert, man. I think when you come out and you play that type of defense, and if offensively you bring something as well, like this is the first time I saw Rudy being that mobile. You know, usually they don't really give him the ball, but they were trusting him that series.
Yeah.
He was sticking defense on Jokic on the perimeter. He was his feet, his coordination. You can tell he worked on these. You know, you can tell he learned from the previous playoffs game. So Rudy Gobert, to me, you did it all. They're hating on you. You're definitely one of the best defender. You're one of the best big men. You are locked in. Stay locked in. You are good. You are the MVP. They need you. They can't win without you, boy. They can't. Go ahead.
I think one, I'm so happy because I was writing it last night, right? Because we told ourselves that we would do this MVP kind of like, you know, format in every series. And I feel like there's a lot of that you could choose from. Ayodele was basically their leading scorer. Ended up being their leading scorer.
Yes.
Jaden McDaniels would be the easy choice. But I think why Rudy Gobert makes so much sense to me as the MVP is because if you had told me 2 weeks ago that the Minnesota Timberwolves would walk into the series and that Gobert would guard Nikola Jokic single-handedly in single coverage for six games, watch the tape. No switch. They never doubled. When Rudy Gobert was on the floor, they never doubled.
Yep.
So to tell me that you're able to hold Jokic for six games in a way that allows your team to win, because that matchup alone allowed everybody else to shine.
Because now
you're getting more stops. And I know Jokic statistically, and I feel like this is where you're going to see people that watch the games and people that
who just watch the box score. Yeah, who doesn't
because
watch the
game, if you watch the box score, Jokic walked out of there with a 25-point triple-double. Right, he averaged a 25-point triple-double.
Yep.
But you know that Rudy was locking him down. And shout out Rudy. Bald Rudy for the freaking win. And now we get to see him going against Wembanyama.
Against the youngster. That's big brother against little brother.
Who's your unsung hero for this series?
My unsung hero in this series? But I think I was recently biased, though. But I'm going to say Shannon Jr.
Yeah. He stepped up to the moment.
He did. I love the underdogs. I love when they come out and they just do what they're supposed to do. And, you know, I love that.
How hard is it to be on the bench for five games of this series, barely getting any minutes, and not to be like, you know what, game six at home, closeout. Sounds like a dream, by the way. go ahead and you know what?
Yeah.
You're allowed to take 20 shots.
Take them all.
And just, I could...
Yeah.
Oh, you know, you always feel a closeness. Yeah. I feel like to these players, you know, that's why we relate to underdogs because they, you know, they feel like they're playing for us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a great unsung hero.
Who you got?
I am gonna go Ayodele.
Because
when everybody was healthy, he was like, you know, providing and providing that bench depth guard that we talked about.
Yes.
That was so important for the Minnesota Timberwolves that they were missing. And also Ayo, his most underrated trait is that he gets on the boards.
Yes.
Right. And he had multiple games and double digit like rebounds. And his offensive rebounding is great. And I'd even talk about the 43 points, which is not only a career high, but is insane.
And it was needed.
Because that's the game, for y'all that don't know, where the starting backcourt, back-to-back, they went out. DiVincenzo in the first 3 minutes.
Yep.
And then Ant in the second quarter. So, shout out Ayo.
Man.
And hopefully the Timberwolves can make some happen in the second round.
Congratulations to the Timberwolves, man.
Before the break, can we talk about some disappointment? Probably some disappointment on the other side of the other team.
Oh, for sure.
There's a lot to choose from, by the way.
Oof.
Would you like me?
I got Cam Johnson, bro.
Really?
I got Cam. Okay.
I
got Cam Johnson and Chris Brown. And I know you're going to go with Chris Brown, probably. Yeah. I know.
Not the singer, the basketball.
Chris Brown. How do you pronounce it? Chris Brown?
No, it's Christian Brown.
Christian Brown? Okay.
You're making him too black, bro. You're making him way too black, bro. That's my boy, Chris Brown. My boy.
I have them too. I just feel like for Cam Johnson, I'm not going to be too harsh on him, but I just feel like he just doesn't provide the same type of buckets like Michael Porter used to provide.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like, you know what I'm saying, too harsh on him because it's not the same player, it's not the same archetype, but they were asking me to do the same things, which is being like a corner boy and be able to make a lot of threes. And to me, he's like a wing, you know, he doesn't really play like a sharpshooter only.
Okay.
So he wasn't able to be like, you know, to shine the best, the greatest. So, you know, but you can like shuffle it to me.
I'm gonna have to disagree on that Cam Johnson take because I thought he was actually one of their best. I thought he was their best role player.
The best score,
because everything you just said you didn't like is what I love about Cam Johnson. Is that also I hate that we're still like talking about Cam Johnson through the lens of that trade because I feel like it happened. We have to evaluate the product in front of us. But okay. I feel like the fact that he's able to go for two pointers to put it on the floor and get to the rim is really helpful. And second, he had an amazing game six. It felt like he couldn't miss. I think he had maybe 27 points, something like that.
Oh, no, he was good.
For sure. And I feel like in a pool of Jamal Murray, like, did not score in that second half, or almost didn't score in that second half of the game six. And for me, my pick is Christian Brown. I hate to be that guy, but 5-year, $125 million. He's been invisible for back-to-back playoff series, this year against the Wolves and last year against the OKC Thunder. Unplayable at times, a non-factor, scared, out of the way. I know. I've been that player, bro. when the ball comes towards you and you're changing sizes because you don't want the ball, bro.
I can
feel him.
You know what? Because of his contract, I would agree with you.
Yeah,
I would agree.
Argument one. This will take us to our last ad break. When we come back, we will finish up on the last series that we got, and then we'll take a bit of time to review/preview the first round and preview the second round. Stay with us and don't go anywhere.
You
dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
I say, what are you listening to there, old chap? Man, I'm listening to the Live Wire show on CGLO 1690 on your AM dial every Saturday from 9 till 10 in the morning.
Welcome back. Death of the Mid-Range family. Sorry for that little break. We had a little technical difficulty. You are still on CGLO 1690. This is still Death of the Mid-Range, and I'm still your host, Liba Siko El Adjello, joined by...
Denzel, yours truly, you already know.
And before the break, we were talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Nuggets series. You know, quite pleased with that series. And it was one of the most hyped series, and it ended up in six. I thought for sure it was going to go seven.
For sure.
Let's go. Where should we go now? What do we have left?
What we got from out west?
Actually, let's go back out east. New York Knicks and Atlanta Hawks. The New York Knicks end up, you know, winning three straight and beating the Hawks in six. And in that game six, what happened, Denzel?
It was embarrassing. That's what happened.
Was it?
what you thought about it?
Was it, bro?
You know, we had a 50 ball going on, man.
I watched that first quarter, and I truthfully had never seen such a thing as an NBA fan. The halftime score read like 83-30 something.
Yeah, 30. It
really sucks because I feel like the Atlanta Hawks weren't supposed to even be in that game six. And second of all, the fight that they showed throughout the whole series was commendable. But we all knew that once the Knicks could actually realize what they have, kind of work more through Cat and everything, then the series would be over. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you. I didn't think it'd be over in that way because that's such a... it just sucks to end the season on that note.
I mean, I think it's a stamp on the disparity between both teams. I haven't really watched this series from up close because to me the Knicks were supposed to get it done in maybe five, six, you know. So I mean, I want to still commend the Knicks for being able to show dominance. I'm not going to be too harsh on the Atlanta Hawks because they do have a good young core. I actually enjoyed the first three games. What game did CJ McCollum go off for? What game did he not go off?
So game two and three. Game two and three. Because went up 2-1. Went up 2-1. Let's not remember. And I think all is good in the world because the Hawks had no expectations and the Knicks did have a lot of
expectations. They have all the expectations.
And if they had lost the series, it would have been a dark time. For and sure. I think just even for second round sakes, I'm happy we get, you know, Knicks Philly is going to be a really, really good series.
So good.
For just a matter of time, we're going to go straight to MVP. I don't know who you had as your MVP.
From last series?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I could tell you I had.
Who'd you got? You got?
I want to command OG Anunoby.
OG, I got OG too.
Because that's a good point. I think he was in a series where Cat was very up and down.
Yes.
Jalen Brunson was defended quite well in the first couple games. I thought OG Anunoby provided constant offense.
Yes.
And you know the defense is always there with OG. And just kind of, you know, steady kind of kept everybody in check, kind of, and everybody calm.
For
so,
sure.
Yeah, definitely OG.
For sure. No, I think OG is definitely a good pick.
Yeah.
I would go OG.
Unsung hero. Anybody come to mind?
CJ.
Yeah.
CJ McCollum.
For sure.
I think he was hooping throughout this series. He truly showed that he could be one of the primary offensive options. He is actually a veteran for this team. I think he's a great vet. I've grown to actually love CJ as a person. You know, I follow him a lot, like, throughout his different ventures. But just seeing how easy it is for him to score the ball, being able to dominate a Knicks team that has a lot of wings, a lot of defensive wings, being able to lead those young guys and show them, like, the way. Because at that point, this is the first playoff experience that a lot of these kids have.
For sure. Jalen Johnson had never been in the playoffs. And Nikhil Alexander Walker had been in the playoffs, but not in that role.
Right.
And it kind of showed because, you know, he struggled a lot in this series.
Yeah. So I want to commend. I want to commend CJ for
and
that.
And you know, obviously being a Wizards fan, CJ McCollum was on my team for a majority of the season. And no, truthfully, he's just a great vet. And he has that vibe about him of I know how old I am.
Professional.
I know everything that is happening to me.
Pro
might not happen anymore. Like every game winner that he hit, every big performance, he's just been enjoying the ride. And I've seen it throughout the whole series with CJ, and deserves his flowers.
Real professional.
What about who's your disappointing player of this series?
Ooh, I have a few.
Yeah.
I have a few, but I feel like it varies, you know. I think Cat sometimes was a disappointment
for sure.
me, you know. I would definitely go Mikal Bridges too.
For sure.
But it's been like that for a minute. I think Mikal has to figure it out.
But I think for me, it wasn't even basketball wise. I think it was he had a quote in a press conference earlier this year.
Okay.
After a rough stretch, he finally had a good game, and he said that his mentality wasn't right and that he wasn't being coachable. And that his mind was getting in his way.
Mm.
And I think it showed, like, it wore its ugly hat again during the series because he had a game where he didn't get the amount of shots that he wanted, and he really shut down. And it impacted his defense, and that he just wasn't playable anymore.
Right.
And of course, in the playoffs, Mike Brown didn't play him.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that he was able to bounce back. Yeah. And in game six, they both went off. OG and Mikal Bridges went off.
Yeah.
So definitely a disappointment because I have Mikal Bridges as well.
Mikal too?
I think the whole talk about, you know, the five first round picks and everything, you just have to provide something.
Right.
I don't care if it's not fair. I don't care if the market was like that.
Right.
It is what it is.
You have to serve.
You were brought in for this purpose.
Yeah.
And you have to show that you're actually like that.
Yeah.
Before we go to a little review of our first round predictions that went, I don't know. They went well. They didn't go well. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll just rattle off Trailblazers and Spurs. Who was your MVP of that series?
Wemby.
Wow.
Wemby. Wembanyama, the big boy.
I'll give Stephon Castle his flowers because when in that game Wemby was out and Wemby was reduced in game five,
yes,
really showed up. And it was nice to see him first time in the playoffs, you know, showing up.
Going off.
My unsung hero for this series is Robert Williams III.
I have Robert Williams III.
So nice to see him hoop again.
Yeah.
After
so long.
Being injured for so long.
So
and
long.
Just seeing when he's healthy, he's so dynamic.
Yes.
He's just such a great defender.
Yes.
So cool.
Yes.
And then as disappointment, I had Scoot Henderson for the reason that I thought he showed up through game one, one through three, and then went scoreless in game four, and then, oh no, sorry, one through four, and then went scoreless in game five, and then was just non-existent for like the rest of that series. And I thought that kind of sucked because you showed us what you could do, and then he didn't back it up.
I was actually impressed with Scoop. You know, I think the fact that he was able to rise after having like those struggles was actually impressive to me. So I wouldn't call him a disappointment. I was looking for a little bit more for Grant and maybe Sharp too.
That's true.
You know, so I would maybe lean towards them a little bit more, even though they had good games throughout the series. But I didn't really watch the Spurs series a lot. I just watched the first and the last two, so I can't really speak on it too much.
You know what's crazy? With 6 minutes left in the show, we forgot to talk about the Lakers and the Rockets.
Let's talk about it.
That's insane. So the Lakers ended up...
I don't think there's much to talk about. I mean, there's much to talk about, but I don't think there is much to talk about playoff-wise.
I think there'll be a lot to talk about in the offseason.
For sure.
But the Lakers close out the Houston Rockets in six.
Yes. Pack it up.
The Rockets, we were never going to be fooled. Even though I had them in seven, we were never going to be fooled. Just shout out to LeBron James. Shout out to Marcus Smart.
Shout out to Marcus Smart. Shout out to Luke Kennard.
That's my MVP and my unsung hero.
Yeah, I would go Marcus Smart MVP for sure. That
just changed the whole series.
That was his this
and, series. They said on Twitter if LeBron even rats off one win against the Thunder, they better make that boy the logo. And we'll end on that. We'll end on that.
Boy, we in the death of the mid range. I think this is we got to end on that.
And we won't talk about the Thunder. All right, the Thunder won. Okay, cool, bro.
Okay, cool.
Okay, cool. yes, we are hating.
Nah, shout out to the Lakers, though. I think they took care of business. You have two of your three best players out. You are able to create plays for other players. You know, I mentioned how I love how Luke Kennard was the focus on the offense for the first three games. They were able to really adapt. Shengun didn't have the best series. Ammon didn't have the best series, even though he was efficient defensively. We talk about Shepherd not being efficient.
He was horrible, bro.
You know, we talk about Jabari Smith being kind of decent at times.
Inconsistent,
but inconsistent, you know.
But shout out also to Austin Reeves for coming back in the series and making it look good.
Yeah,
after not having played for a month, that's pretty impressive.
For sure.
So the second round is set. Out west, we have the Los Angeles Lakers facing off against the OKC Thunder. That'll be on Tuesday.
Yep.
And then tonight we have the Spurs going up against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Woo.
And out east,
this game's gonna be so good.
Tonight we have the New York Knicks going up against the Philadelphia 76ers. And on Wednesday, we will have the Detroit Pistons facing off with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Obviously, not all of our first round predictions came through. But what do you got for the second round?
Who do you got? West, West, East?
Hey, brother, it's your world. You're swimming in it.
Okay. So for Lakers, OKC, I mean, obviously, I have OKC, but I have OKC in five.
Wow, so you're respectable.
I think Brown gonna get one.
For sure.
Come on now, we're talking about Brown.
We are talking about the GOAT.
Like, chill out. But okay.
Oh yeah, sorry. again, for y'all that don't know, yesterday we had a hefty debate. We had a hefty GOAT debate. Almost kicked this brother out of my house.
I'm just saying. Hey, okay. So Minnesota against the Spurs. Sorry. You know what? I'm willing to go Minnesota.
Yeah?
I'm going Minnesota.
And how many games?
I'm going Minnesota in seven.
In seven?
I'm going Minnesota in seven.
Wow, okay.
Because and he needs to come back first.
He's questionable for
He's questionable
tonight,
for game one, but he's definitely going to be here like by game three-ish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to go there.
Okay.
What you got?
You know what? Braun, even though I don't like anything that you've been saying this year, you kind of been tripping on the mic this
what
year.
What do you mean?
Nah, bro, he had a crazy rant about Israel and everything. I can't back that. But I will say that basketball wise, you've been hooping, bro. I'll give OKC six games. I think they can.
Okay.
You know what?
Okay, I like
by
it.
By the way,
is Luka coming back this series? Yes, right.
Hopefully. Or my prediction ain't gonna be good. I got a horrible reputation with my predictions. I be saying stuff and the opposite happens every time. So I'm going to go OKC, six games.
So you want the Lakers to win?
No. I love an underdog, though. You feel me? And then out west, I got to stay true to my guy. I think I got the Spurs in six.
You got the Spurs in six? That's fair.
I would love a game seven.
I'm not mad at this.
But I don't think – I think Rudy will meet his maker. Nope. Oof. It's supposed to be the other way around. But I think Wembanyama is going to keep going on this, like, boy meets world tour, and we'll just put everybody on notice. What about in the East?
In the East, so we have Detroit against the Cavs.
Yeah.
Wow, this is going to be great.
And you love Detroit, so that's good. Absolutely love Detroit.
Hey, I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to go with the Cavs, man. I had the Cavs coming out the East, and I'm going to stick to what I said.
How many games?
This is going to be tough.
Yeah.
This is going to be seven.
It's going to be.
This is going to be seven.
I think it's going to be enjoyable.
It's going to be such a good. We have like a good offensive team against a great defensive team. This is going to be interesting to watch.
And my prediction, Evan Mobley completely disappears. Because this kind of physicality. This kind of physicality, he not built for it. I'll let you go. I'll let you finish. Go ahead. Knicks, Sixers.
I have the Sixers. Come on now.
In how many games?
Let's go. In six.
Okay.
In six. I think the Knicks. For the Knicks to lose this series, and I think they're gonna lose it. I don't know why.
Okay.
The only way they can win it is if you run your offense through Cat, because you know Embiid is tired. You know them legs are tired, so you want him to run up and down. You want Cat to be like the focus on the offense, and then you let Jalen Brown cook towards the end. That's how you want to go. I don't know if they're gonna be smart enough unless you listen to Death of the Midrange. I have the 76ers, but it should be the Knicks. I always say that it should be the Knicks.
I think it's a great point, because it'll be the battle of the defensive liabilities. I think truthfully,
defensive big man liabilities.
I think truthfully, the liability for the Sixers will be Embiid and how he can move against Cat, and then for the Knicks, it'll be Jalen Brunson and how he can move against the smaller guards and everything.
But they got OG though.
That's true.
That's what I'm.
That's true. They got a lot of versatility,
and nobody can stop OG.
I think Paul George. Anyways, we're running low on time. For my prediction, I think the Knicks will come out this series in 7. I think it'll be a great series if Embiid can stay healthy.
Oh, so we don't rely on nothing. No, the East.
We never agree.
We never agree.
You're my biggest op, bro. And then lastly, I have the Pistons coming out in 6 against the Cavs. Pistons Nation, baby. And we're 40 seconds left in today's show. I want to officially say that this is my last show for the next couple of months in person at the studio, because I'm going away to see my mama and my papa on Wednesday. The show will keep going on. I'll just be away. But I will still give you guys an episode every week. Thank you so much, Denzel, for helping me during the semester.
Come on.
You've been a great help, just a great ray of sunshine in my life every Monday, and I appreciate you.
That's my man right here.
Thank you, Death of the Midrange family, for another great episode. Sweet. And next week I got something special for y'all, so stay tuned. Peace out. Yes, sir.
Out. Just move on up.
This is Remy.